Luke chapter 10. The message today is about the after visits of Jesus. I'll explain that to you, Lord willing, as we go along. I want to read a little bit of several passages and then tell you about how some of these are after visits of Jesus. First of all, chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, he, our Savior, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, chapter 11. Now, as he spake, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first bathed himself before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now ye the Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but your inward part is full of extortion and wickedness. Ye foolish ones, did not he that made the outside make the inside also? But give for alms those things which are within, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Chapter 14. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, that they were watching him. And behold, there was before him a certain man that had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they held their peace. He took him and healed him, and let him go. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a well, and will not straightway draw him up on a Sabbath day? And they could not answer again unto these things. Now 24. 24. And look at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. That's about 7 miles. And they communed with each other of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What communications are these that you have one with another as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem, and not know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And then they go on and tell him. And look at verse 25. He's called them fools and slow to believe. And then this is what he says in verse 25 when they said, "We hope that this was he that should redeem Israel. O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they get to where they're going, and they invite him in. And as they are dining, he takes bread and he breaks it, verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they woke up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and they that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they rehearsed the things that happened in the way, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And one more scripture in John 21. Verse 1. John 21:1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself on this wise. Peter and his companions are going fishing. They fish all night. They catch nothing. Verse 4. And when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said unto them, "Children, have you aught to eat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now look down at verse 9. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish that you have now taken." And so they do. Verse 15. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, you love me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lamb." We know the rest of the story. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the preciousness of the Word of God. What is like it? Let us know that it has fed and satisfied our soul from the very day that we received Christ as our Savior. We thank you, our God. Indeed, did they not eat the roast lamb in Egypt, and the manna in the wilderness, and the old corn of the land in Canaan? And our Father, we have feasted also on these portions, speaking to us of thy Son. We thank you for that. And now we look to thee, our God, for an understanding of the portions that we've read today. We remember that Jesus said to Simon, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And that is what we desire this morning, that the lambs and the sheep be fed. So grant that by thy Spirit. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are first visits of the Lord Jesus, and then there are after visits. The first visit for one reason, the after visit for other reason. And because of that, there were many reasons and there were many visits of Jesus to his people when he came to earth and dwelt among men. Some of the visits were first visits, but strange first visits. There were those that came to Jesus at times who wanted to know things. Do you remember when the Pharisees came to the Savior and said, "Tell us, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar? Shall we give or shall we not give?" Well, they visited Jesus to find out something about giving or not giving. What about civil and religious duties? And then others also came to him and they wanted to know about how arrangements were going to be in the resurrection. And they tell him about this woman who married one husband and he died, and then another brother and another and another. And finally she had married seven brothers and they all died, and finally she died. And they wanted to know, now in heaven, which one is she going to be married to? Well, that's an interesting question. I'm glad that they asked it, because our Savior gave us wonderful truth in answering that question. And the other one came and said, "What is the first and great commandment?" And Jesus answered that. But think now. Suppose you are on earth a sinner, and Jesus is on earth, and you may go and visit him and ask him anything you want to. And suppose you ask him about politics, about theology, about the important things in the Bible, and he gave you all the answers, and you went away from him, but you were not saved. You never asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" It turns out that all of these questions you asked Jesus when he visited you, when you visited him, they are unimportant unless there is a first visit that results in eternal life. Let me remind you of some who visited Jesus for the first time, and the very first time they learned how to be saved. Think of Nathanael. Nathanael in John chapter 1 comes to the Lord Jesus, and the Savior, when he sees him, says, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And the Savior says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And he said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You see what happened when that first visit took place? You say, yes, he learned who Jesus was. He confessed him with his lips, and therefore he was saved. Why, of course. And in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he was going on with great flattering words about Jesus, and the Savior said to him, "You must be born again." And you will discover that Nicodemus was born again later. Because when our Savior was crucified, Jesus was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. He turned out to be a faithful follower. So you see how that first visit was a fine first visit. Now think for a moment of the woman in John chapter 4. She had one visit, to our knowledge, with the Lord Jesus, but it turned out to be for salvation. And she went in and confessed to the people of Samaria that there is a man who's told me all things that ever I did. And she confessed him, and she told others about Jesus, and they confessed the Lord Jesus as Savior. So these first visits that result in salvation, they are the only visits that are of the importance that have to do with eternal life. Because so many people visit Jesus, they go to church their whole life long, but they are interested in questions. They are interested in explanations as to how man should live, how politics should be handled, all sorts of things when they meet with Jesus, but they never get around to asking, what must I do to be saved? And so those first visits, in one sense, are the saddest thing that could happen to a man, to be in the presence of the Savior of sinners and never ask him how to be saved when you're not saved. And then for others, not to even realize whose presence they are in, and yet to learn. When the Lord Jesus said to the woman, I that speak unto thee am the Messiah, the Christ. And he told her that. So just think for a moment now about first visits with Jesus and after visits. Because the first visit with Jesus for salvation, that's the thing that Jesus wants you to visit him for. But after that first visit, do not think that that is the end of the time that you're to be together with Jesus. That's why I read you most of these other portions. The one when Jesus went to see Martha and Mary, and when the Lord Jesus spoke to those, Cleopas and his companion, on the road to Emmaus, and when the Lord Jesus went and spoke to Peter personally in John 21. They are after visits, because Jesus never expects you to visit him one time and be saved, and then that's the end. You'll never see him again. I'm just going through life now. I met Jesus on that first visit, and now when I get to heaven, I'll visit with him again. That isn't God's plan at all. That first visit is simply to be the first visit of visits with Jesus for the rest of your life, until he comes to receive you to himself. These are after visits. And what is so sad is this, that I told you about some visits that they ask questions, and I'm telling you now about other visits that were so strange and embarrassing, and I wonder if I would have courage to use this visit the way Jesus did when he went into the house of a Pharisee to dine with him. A man received him into his house, and there were certain rituals that the Jews followed, and they never thought for a moment that to do anything other than the way they did it could possibly be right. And so when Jesus came into his home and did not bathe himself thoroughly so that he would be clean and pure to sit down and eat a meal with this Pharisee, it said that that Pharisee marveled that he had not first bathed himself. And the Lord Jesus sees through him completely. He says, now you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of corruption. He said, did not God who made the outside make the inside also? Cleanse first the inside that the outside might be clean. Now think of this. Suppose you had invited somebody to dinner with you, and it doesn't turn out to be a blessing, but it turns out to be an embarrassment, because this man that you thought was a prophet, he doesn't even have intelligence enough, and he's not devout enough to bathe the way that the Jews do before they sit down to eat, and you're stumbled. That's one thing. And the next thing, the one that you invited to your house is rebuking and reproving you because of your hypocrisy, because of your blindness. But this is what happens when Jesus visited some people for the first time. Now, it may very well be that these Pharisees, unless their heart was completely hardened, it's possible that they could see through what Jesus was telling them. The same way, when a man goes and asks, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? And the Lord Jesus says to him, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. A man could say, render unto God the things that are God's. Have I done that? It could start him thinking on more serious questions about his own salvation and also about the resurrection. Instead of wondering in the resurrection about some hypothetical man and woman, this woman had had seven husbands, to whom is she going to be married in heaven? Rather than that, I wonder if I am going to be in heaven at all. And also, what is the first and great commandment? And the Lord Jesus tells you, and you might wonder, well, have I kept that first and great commandment? What is my relationship to God? So all that the Lord Jesus says can bring conviction to a man's soul, and we hope that it does, and we hope that this man who heard from the lips of Jesus that he was interested with the outside, but the inside was full of corruption. Don't you understand that God made the inside as well as the outside? He's not just satisfied if you're cleansed on the inside and the outside remains unclean. And least of all is he satisfied if the outside is cleansed, but you've never cleansed the inside. God wants us to be clean on the inside and the outside. And so maybe the man thought through things and said, yes, I'm simply a religious hypocrite, and I haven't understood that I have to have a new heart, that I must be born again. And so all of these visits with Jesus can result in salvation. But what is so good is this, that some people, if their heart is in the right attitude when they come to visit Jesus the first time, they get saved the very first time that Jesus visits them. I can remember that the Lord Jesus visited me because I want you to understand that Jesus is visiting you now. You say, how is that? It's explained this way. In Matthew 25, our Savior says, he's going to speak to the sheep on his right hand and say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was sick and you visited me. And they ask, when were you sick and we visited you? And the Lord Jesus will answer, inasmuch as you visited, you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. You've done it unto me. Now, I thank God for that. It means that I can visit Jesus, even though he's in heaven, when I come and I'm doing something for you. Jesus is visiting you through his servant. Just as the Savior said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. And if I am faithfully preaching what's in God's word, then this is Jesus speaking to you through his servant, through the word. So remember that. That nowadays, Jesus visits you, and you visit Jesus when you do things for your fellow man. Those who are truly saved are those who are lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, if you go and visit for the purpose of salvation, bringing salvation to the man or woman you visit, then Jesus is visiting through you. And now, concerning the other things, those after visits of Jesus, think of how important they are and why Jesus visited these of whom I spoke, and his purpose in wanting to visit with you after you've had that first visit that resulted in salvation. Here's something that Christians seldom realize, that the most enjoyable times of your life are the times when you visit with Jesus, or when Jesus visits you, because God wants you to enjoy your Savior. He saved you, and now he wants you to enjoy him. It says this, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, He has given us richly all things to enjoy. And the thing that we can enjoy most is the Lord Jesus Himself. Yes, we are thankful for every physical blessing. If we are sick and He heals us. If we are in need and He provides financially, we thank the Lord for those things. But at the same time, the things that are most enjoyable are those times when we enjoy the Lord Jesus Himself. When we learn of His love, of His preciousness, of His faithfulness, of His mercy, and when we simply are in the presence of Jesus, communing with Him. And so think now of this family, just for a moment. Think of it, that invite Jesus to His house. We are told of two of them in Luke's Gospel, but if you read John's Gospel, you'll find that there was not only Martha and Mary, but there was Lazarus. And they invite Jesus into their home, and the reason they invite Him is to do something for Jesus. That's why I thank God for some of you who have been faithful. Here is the hospitality list. And when you sign your name and someone comes to your home, then you are entertaining Jesus. Just as Jesus came to visit Martha and Mary, so Jesus is coming to visit you. Because there should be in the hearts of God's people a desire to do something for Jesus. Jesus has saved Martha and Mary and Lazarus because it says, now Jesus loves these individuals. And evidently they love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you want to do something for Him. And if someone is sick and you love Jesus, you want to visit that person. So, here are Martha and Mary, and let's bring Lazarus in. And so Jesus is visiting in this home, but different ones had Him in their home for different reasons. Martha, it seems, wants to show her gratitude to the Savior by giving Him something to eat. And that's a very good reason. Inasmuch as I go to so many homes for meals, I thank God for those that are grateful and they want to give you something to eat. But in the same home, there may be a sister, and she wants Jesus to come and visit her, not that she can give Jesus something, but that she can get something for Jesus. She knows that the Lord Jesus not only knows the way of salvation, but He knows the spiritual questions that are in her heart, and she wants to know the answers. And when Jesus is in her home, she can sit at His feet and listen to His word. And that's why Mary was so glad that Jesus was in their house. But what happens is this, that Martha, who wants to do something for Jesus, is so cumbered with much serving, is so concerned about having everything right with the Lord Jesus, that suddenly the good thing turns out to be a bad thing. She's anxious and troubled about many things. And the Lord Jesus says, Martha, Martha. And so that's why there is a danger in doing things for Jesus. Because it can turn you into one who is a critic, one who looks upon others that aren't doing the things that you are doing, and you would not only criticize them, but you would go to the Lord Jesus, and you brought Him into your home because you want to do something for Him. You would go up and criticize Jesus and say, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? And then the Lord Jesus, as He rebuked the Pharisee when He was in his home, He rebuked Martha in her own home. He says, don't you understand that you are troubled, you are cumbered with much serving, you are anxious about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part. And you are telling me to take that good part away from her and send her to help you? Serving physical things, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. So let's think for a moment. I believe that Mary had already helped her sister, because it said she had a sister named Mary who also sat at his feet and heard his word. And so give those that are entertaining Jesus assistance, but do not think that you're doing so many things for Jesus that Jesus is left out. I have to be told this many times. When guests come to our home, I'm back fiddling around, taking so much time, and one that runs the kitchen says, go and entertain our guests. You see, but Martha is quite prepared to let Mary leave Jesus alone, and Jesus is sitting out there all alone, and Mary and Martha are busy preparing his meal. And so think of these things. While you're doing things for the Lord Jesus, it may be that your sister is doing something that is as important as you are doing, and at the same time, she should learn about helping you, but I believe she had helped her, and at the same time, you should learn to do what your sister is doing. Feed on the Word of God as it comes from the lips of Jesus. So think of this. Here are Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they enjoy having Jesus in their home. And it says in John 12 that when Jesus was with Lazarus, Lazarus sat at meat with Jesus. And so some do things for Jesus to get food ready. Some sit at Jesus' feet before the meal is ready. And then some, like Lazarus, when they eat the meal, they sit with Jesus and they fellowship with him at the table. They enjoy the food that Mary and Martha mostly has prepared, but then they enjoy the personal fellowship of Jesus. So when we're doing things like these, let's include spiritual things as well as material things for the Lord Jesus. Because some, if they had a get-together and it was all physical and food and nothing spiritual were there at all, and that is a good reminder, if there were nothing spiritual at all, when it was all over, you would say, what a good time we had. The food was so good. I'm so glad that they entertained us. But when Jesus is there not something wrong when we do not get fed on his word from his lips? And so as it was suggested, when we get together, always, if possible, let there be a spiritual part as well as a physical part, or else we turn out to be Martha's, and we have to be rebuked by the Lord Jesus. Mary had chosen the good part, and it's not going to be taken away from her. I wonder how many would come. We're going to meet together tonight, and we're going to fast and pray. Oh, is that, well, I don't want to go to that. I don't enjoy getting together unless it's something to eat. But remember that there are such ones that did that. You'll find that they fast, that they pray, as they did in Acts chapter 13. And so they come together for spiritual reasons entirely. That's good, but not come together for physical reasons entirely, at least combine the two. Now, I wanted to tell you about this, because notice that in Luke 24, and in John chapter 21, it is not you inviting the Savior to your house to do something for him, but it is you not even knowing about Jesus, understanding your needs, and Jesus comes to help you in an after visit. The first time, he helped you with the salvation of your soul. But it says that God also restores our souls. God also lifts up the hands that hang down, and he strengthens the feeble knees. And so here are Cleopas and his companion, with hearts that are filled with sorrow, and all hope is gone. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus comes, and for 7 miles, he speaks to them and their broken hearts. And when they get to their destination, this is their confession. Did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us along the way and open the Scriptures. That's a delightful reason why Jesus gives you an after visit. Why? Because Christians should rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. But at times they have broken heart. Hope is gone. Somehow, they think that Jesus has deserted them, that he's dead, that all hope is gone, and Jesus has to come and encourage our hearts. And that is what he does. And notice that as soon as those broken hearts were filled with joy, they were burning as they understood the truth of God, and that not all hope was gone, but what had happened was the will of God in fulfillment of the Scripture. Then their hearts were filled with hope and with strength, and they had walked 7 miles, and they turned around and walked 7 miles back, and they fellowshiped with the other Christians. So that's why Jesus comes. He visits you if your heart is heavy and if your hope is gone. But at the same time, and I'm glad that the Lord Jesus visits me, but it's an embarrassing thing and it's a painful thing. The Lord Jesus heard Peter say, though all men deny you, I will go to prison and I will die with you. I will never deny you. And then he denied our Savior 3 times, just as the Savior said he would. And so what is the Christian to do? Having denied the Lord with oaths and curses, is he to go through life and never go to the Savior and confess his sins and repent of his sins and be restored? Of course not. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But many times what happens is this, instead of our going to the Lord to confess our sins, he has to come and visit us and remind us of those sins, those failures. And then finally, after he does, and we painfully are restored, then he says to us, now, if this is true, and you do love me, you know now that you don't love me like you thought you did, but you've sinned, but now that you're restored, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And so these are the after visits of the Lord Jesus. Why does he come to us afterwards? That we might enjoy life to the full with him and the things that pertain to him. And he comes to us because we have broken hearts. That's why. And he comes to us because there have been sins in our lives, and those sins have to be dealt with. And so Jesus gives the first visit for salvation, and he gives these after visits for encouragement and restoration. Enjoy to the full visits with the Lord Jesus. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad for this relationship that is ours with your Son. We confess that at one time we were strangers, we were far off, we were without God, and without hope in the world. But now, Father, all these things are ours, because we have your Son, and having him we have everything. And we are thankful that he who saved us at the beginning of our spiritual life shall continue to be with us until the end of our life on earth. And then we shall ever be with the Lord. We are thankful for this great salvation. There is nothing like it, our God, and we enjoy it more and more day by day. And so let us visit Jesus, and let Jesus visit us. Thou dost know the need. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.